Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to Reyna Retirement. Reyna Reyes has dedicated her career to helping people make smarter financial decisions. Reyna Retirement is all about breaking down complex financial concepts into language you can actually understand. Now, here's the co-founder of American Federal Benefits Consultants, Reyna Reyes.
Now, many of us grew up with great memories of great shows, and one of them is dun 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 dun, dun at the ending at the beginning. And we all know our lovely Joe Friday, where he says, just the facts, man, just the facts. And today I want to give you just the facts on some of these frequently asked questions that we get. And if you have questions, let me know, because I want to answer them for you. And so some of the biggest questions, you know, what am I going to do? Where's my money coming from? How much is it going to be? All these things. So let's attack them one at a time rather than giving you the spray. So number one, how is my pension calculated? Well, it's based on your years of service and your high three salary. And you get, each year has a value, a percentage value. So essentially each year, if you're under 62 and don't have 20 years of service, each year is worth 1%. So if I had 30 years of service, 30% of my high three salary. Well, Reyna, how's the high three salary calculated? Well, it's an average. Remember, we were kids and we learned how to do averages. So it is 3 years added together divided by three, but not really, because it's also 36 months added together divided by 36 to get the average. And so once your average has been determined, then you can multiply it by that, what they call a factor. So Reyna, I didn't come here to do math. Thanks for that, but that doesn't sound fun at all. Essentially, they also say a way to calculate your high threes is like 97% of your current salary. So when the time comes, they do the decimal math, but sometimes you can either say A, last year's salary, 97% of your current salary, or you can look at the estimate and actually just kind of do the math. So that's how it's determined. What's coming out of my pension? What's going to come out of there? Well, what's already coming out of your leave and earnings statement? Let's look at that, because a lot of that will follow over. Number one, taxes. The piper's going to get paid, because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. That was off key, but George Harrison would not be proud of that. But he wrote it, and we're going to talk about it, because the tax man gets paid first. And you might live in a state that doesn't just pay the Fed. You may have a state that has a state tax, not a state, but a state tax. You may also have a state that has a locality for your municipality. I don't have another word that rhymes with ality, but you know what I'm saying. And I even have some that have city taxes. You know who you are. So it's chomping, it's chomping. There's the big chomp, little chomp, smaller, 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 chomp, chomp, chomp. So the taxes come out first. And then the healthcare is the biggest chomp. I'm from Florida, so we say go Gators. Dun, 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 dun. And we're the chomp. We do the Gator chomp. That's the Gator chomp out of Florida, SEC. All right. And my brother and sister defected to FSU, by the way. So they do a lot of this nonsense. Their arm's broken. It goes like this. It goes like this. So that's some of the things coming out. But the health insurance is one of the biggest bites at your pension. And you'll know what it is, because you'll talk to me and I'll tell you. But there's online ways you can do a search to see, number one, what you're currently paying. But we're all used to per pay period. And so in retirement, you're not getting paid no per pay period. It's monthly. Everything in retirement is per month. And so once that is, once that kind of paradigm gets changed in your mind, then you'll say, okay, if I'm currently paying $235 a pay period, that translates into $480 or whatever a month, right? Or $490 or whatever. So you're pretty much paying the same amount. What's the biggest difference? It's pre-tax right now while you're working. But after retirement, you pay the tax on it. So you're not seeing that tax reduction, which you may or may not have even recognized at the beginning, but that's one of the facts. Another thing coming out is the life insurance that you elected. So you may have said, I want to keep some basic, A, B, whatever. So we'll do that math on our meeting to see what that deduction is. Another subtraction is the survivor benefit. If you're married and you plan to leave a survivor benefit, that's a cost coming right out of there. Dental, vision as well. And if your court order says that you owe a former spouse, but if you owe a former spouse an apportionment, then they will get a portion of your pension for as long as you were told to pay it. Commonly, that's indefinite. It just depends. Usually it's indefinite. And you may also have to pay a survivor benefit for a former spouse, and that will also reduce the amount of your pension. So those are some things coming out. Another question on that survivor benefit, what if I retire and get married? Can I add a survivor benefit? It depends on how far you are from retirement, but in most cases you can. Obviously you add the cost, right? But usually they want you to do that within the first couple of years. Don't quote me, 18 months or something. It's a rarity. I don't get that call very often. What about if I had a survivor benefit and I retired and I'm not the first one to pass away? What if I have a survivor benefit and I retire and my spouse passes away? What happens then? Well, you get a raise. That's my horrible morbid joke. You stop paying the cost for the survivor benefit. Commonly, it'd be $200 a month or $100 a month or whatever. But if they pass away, you do not continue to pay for that survivor benefit. Do you get a raise? No, of course not, because you had the benefit while you were paying for it. But in this example, you no longer pay for the cost of having that survivor benefit that would pay the spouse monthly if you passed away. What's another question? What about life insurance? Does it go to only a spouse or anyone? Life insurance, that goes to anyone you've listed as a beneficiary who's alive when you pass away. And you can delegate those beneficiaries first, second, third, fourth, if you want to, or a couple of firsts and a couple of seconds at percentages as well. But to flip back to the survivor benefit, another question is, Raina, I am paying for this survivor benefit, and if I pass away, I want it to go to my kids. Well, it doesn't work that way. The survivor benefit is a monthly benefit. It's a monthly amount from your pension, and it only is going to go to a spouse. There is no children survivor benefit unless those children are disabled. There's a survivor benefit specific for disabled children, and it's not the same percentage as the spouse gets. It's kind of a set number depending on the scenario with the kids. So a lot of people get a little bit out of shape. They're like, what? I'm paying for this. And are you telling me it's just going to stop and it's going to go nowhere? The government keeps all the money. Well, remember, if there's a single person and there is no survivor, then they're not paying the cost for the survivor benefit. So the government's not taking anything from that. But if you're married and you're paying for a survivor benefit, the government is saying, we will continue this monthly payment, not for just your lifetime, but for two lifetimes. That is the gamble. That is what insurance is all about. It's essentially ensuring your pension can last for your spouse as well. If the spouse doesn't last as long as that, or if they don't last as long as you, it's unfortunate, but you had that protection while you both were around. So I'm not trying to defend it or anything like that, but just to put it into perspective of what you're actually paying for. And on that same note, do I get a survivor benefit from the supplement? Well, let me answer that question with a question. Are you paying a survivor benefit in the supplement? Are they reducing your supplement to give a survivor benefit? No. So if you pass away, you haven't bought in to the supplement's survivor benefit to leave a survivor benefit. So no, the answer is no. There is no survivor benefit monthly payment to keep receiving the supplement. That's only for you anyway. But they will get the survivor benefit specifically from the pension, or what I call leg one, into perpetuity, because they have their own world of Social Security. Remember, the supplement is designed to offset or to bridge the Social Security that you cannot turn on yet, and you won't be able to until you're 62 anyway. So that's what the supplement's there for. And there's no way to keep continuing because it stops at your age 62 anyway. So negatory, good buddy. So who gets my TSB? Well, beneficiaries, you list them. If you have not named your beneficiaries, I'm a great advocate for naming them because yes, they go in order of precedence if you don't have any named, but what if you're not cool with the order of precedence for whatever reason? What if one of your adult kids irritates you and you're like, you're banned? No, I'm just kidding. But you can name the different people with different percentages and different priority, not priorities, but the order of your beneficiaries. So if you haven't done it yet, you log into TSB, you look to the very top right-hand side, circle with the head and shoulders, click it, little white box pops up, click beneficiaries. Then it says, who are your people and how have you delegated them? If it says no beneficiaries or if they're named, that's great. If there's only one, I recommend to go ahead and list a secondary the way you want it to look. The way TSB does it, you've got to first name them and then go in and pick who they are. So you could name anybody who could possibly be a beneficiary ever, and then you get all their names up there. Then it says, pick your beneficiaries, primary, secondary, however you want that at percentages. So if you haven't done so, I'm a big fan of naming them. Get them on in there. Get the beneficiaries named. For sure, I find that to be very valuable. Another question. Raina, I was military and you keep telling me to buy the time back, but I heard it was really expensive. No, it's not really expensive. What is really expensive? Let's define it. If you waited 30 dang years to buy back your military time, it would cost you maybe $1,000 a year. But the time you invested, or that money you invested into buying that time, will increase your monthly pension for the rest of your life, forever. And the increase, the amount it increases you from when you didn't buy the time back to after you did, just that increase will pay back the amount of money you spent, commonly in the first 2.5, maybe 3 years. The math works every time. So then you get your money back every third year. Easy, right? So if I paid $5,000, you're telling me I'm making an extra $5,000 every 3 years? Mm-hmm. That's the deal. Why would I be so excited about it? There's no scenario. There is zero scenario that you should not buy back your eligible military time. And let me clarify that. If you've already retired from the military, you're getting paid. You have TRICARE. Everyone's jealous of you. It's great. You earned it. Don't do anything. There's nothing to buy back. Even National Guard and reservists can buy back their active duty time, and it does not affect your current retirement. There are a few exclusions to that, but in general, you can buy back your active time and get paid for both. You're one of the special ones who can double dip. So that's very cool. Very cool. And why would I do that? Well, I just told you, it increases your pension and it pays you back. Like it can also get you closer to the finish line. So it gets you there faster by buying the time back. Another common question. Raina, I thought that TSP was wrapped into my pension monthly. Absolutely not. TSP is a bucket of money. And your first two legs of retirement, they're just monthly payments. Monthly payments forever. TSP is a bucket of money. Now, could we poke a hole in the bottom of the TSP and get paid forever? Sure. But the way TSP does it has some limitations. So you usually want to talk to somebody like me to kind of overcome those limitations, depending on what you're trying to do. Because sometimes our monthly income with pension and Social Security or pension and the supplement, maybe that's sufficient. Maybe we don't need any extra income from TSP. But if we do, Raina can help you do it in the most advantageous way for you. That's not going to hurt you, overtax you, or empty out the bucket. I can't turn this over because there's actually coffee in it. And if you've seen my little coffee water explanation, then that's the difference between traditional and Roth. But that's not a conversation for today. Although a frequently asked question I do get on the Roth is whether I need to start doing conversions. Well, why is that a question right now? Because TSP opened up for Roth conversions and everybody's all excited about it. Like it's new. It's not new. Roth conversions have been around for ever since we had Roth. Okay. What's new is that TSP is allowing you to convert. Pretend I have a cardboard. Here we go. If I have a card, like a little insert to separate the two, right? So I have some traditional and some Roth. Well, TSP is allowing you to take from traditional, pay the tax, and put it into the Roth, all while it stays within TSP. But remember, the Roth has already been taxed. So to get it from traditional to Roth, you got to pay the piper. And so a lot of people are saying, should I do it? Is it great? Well, it's never not been an option. The only difference of this option is that you can do the conversion and stay within the TSP confines. So is it great to do a conversion? I think Roth conversions are a great idea, but we have to find out what makes sense, how much of the conversion, because there's no limit. You can convert as much money as you're willing to pay tax on. But if I'm not cool with paying tax on $200,000, I'm probably not going to convert it. So maybe I'll convert maybe 10 or 20,000 or something every year. A lot of my people are on that kind of cadence where they say, okay, every year, end of the year. Why end of the year? Because then I know how much money I've made and how much money I may have grabbed out of TSP if I needed to, re-roof the house, take a trip, bail out my stinking nephew. I'm kidding. That's not personal. This didn't really happen. It really didn't, but that would be fun. Me to somebody else. That was not me. But who knows? At the end of the year, you can see how much income you actually have and how far away you are from the next tax bracket. Now, I'm not a tax advisor by definition. I'm not licensed and all that stuff, but I can also read. So we can see where we kind of are. And then obviously consult your tax advisor and disclaimer. But those are some of the reasons that we want to look at the end of the year to decide if a Roth conversion is for you. Why would we do a Roth conversion? To get the tax out of the way. You almost dollar cost average the taxes. Rena, what the heck does that mean? Don't use big words on me. It's essentially paying the tax over different times of years at some high level, some low level, some intermediary level. And that way you're never just paying high tax and you're never just paying low tax. You just keep doing it along the time. Well, why is that really good for a Roth? Because if you've got a lot of time, you don't need a lot of money. And you can contribute into that Roth a little bit as time goes by to then catapult the time during which your Roth can increase in value non-taxable. Because it's only the growth in a Roth that is not taxable when you go to take the money out because you already paid tax on the contribution. So big thing. Another FAQ, just a facts, ma'am. Tell me the facts, man. I think my favorite Dragnet issue is when they were all, never mind. I was going to tell you my favorite episode that's like embedded in my mind, but it may not. Yeah, I'm not. Anyway, ask me offline. How's that? But another major question I get is, if something happens to me, what is my spouse going to do? What do they do? Well, first, like I started with, call me. I can help you. Call me now for your free reading. And then once we're on the phone and I'm talking with either your spouse or adult child or whatever, we can see what the scenario is and go from there. But your spouse has the ability to take money slowly and pay tax or not. They don't have to take money out at all. They can kind of sit on it. Adult children, they have different choices depending on the order of passing away. So that's a big reason we do pre-planning for TSB to potentially offset some tax bombs that are in the TSB. And we want to have, you know, have a plan for that for sure. Another major question I have is, what's up with health insurance? What's going to happen to it when I retire? What is my spouse going to do if I die? Well, remember, a survivor benefit ensures that if you pass away, your spouse is able to maintain that health insurance into perpetuity forever independently. And if you passed away, if it's only the spouse left, they're not going to keep paying the same price because you were paying for self plus one or family even. And it may be gone, may go down to self only, where they're only protecting one person. The price will decrease and the survivor benefit is where that will get deducted from. While you're retired before, you know, while you're still both living, that price for the health insurance will simply be deducted from your pension, from your leg one monthly federal pension paid to you by OPM. And if you pass away, the spouse has all those choices with the survivor benefit. Now, who doesn't need a survivor benefit to keep health insurance? Twinkies. Remember, who do I call Twinkies? Two federal or postal employees that are married to each other. And so if you have Twinkies, they both have health insurance independently. And I don't need you for the health insurance and you don't need me for the health insurance. So maybe we don't leave each other a survivor benefit, because why do I want to spend $200 a month to give you $1,000 a month that you already have? And why do you want to spend $200 a month also to give me $1,000 that I already have? There's some caveats to that, age and years of service and who's got more and things like that. But if you're exact Twinkies, like I have some spouses that are both exact 30 years of service, they have the exact same amount in their TSB. It's like the exact, like literal Twinkies. Same thing, two same thing, a little packet. But remember, if I pass away and you were a federal employee, you had coverage even though it was under my name. But now you will simply enroll independently under your own name as a continuation of healthcare. You're not starting it. So that's the difference between Twinkies and non-Twinkies, right? Because the spouse is dependent on you for your health insurance if you're both not federal. But if you're both federal, they're not dependent on you, even if you were carrying the health insurance for the family. So that's one of the biggest questions as well. So I think this was enough overload of FAQs for a day. That's enough, just the facts, ma'am, I would say. And if you have questions that you want to add to this bucket OQs, let me know and we can add them, answer them, And what's great about me is that when I'm answering questions, I will commonly create a few more anyway. So let me know what I've created and reach out and we can have a meeting and go over them independently for you and yours on a meeting to make a plan for you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Reyna Retirement. With a strong commitment to ethical standards, Reyna works hard to find the right solution for each individual or family who reaches out for advice. To contact Reyna directly, call 850-450-6500. That's 850-450-6500. Or to reach the team at American Federal Benefits Consultants, call 1-800-872-8857. That's 1-800-872-8857. You can also go online to AmericanFederal.org. Not affiliated with the United States government. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice. These opinions are not intended as investment advice, nor do they predict future performance of any product. All information provided is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation or warranty as to the accuracy of any statement. The information is intended to be educational in nature and does not provide a guarantee or specific result. All copyrights and trademarks are the property of their respective owners. American Federal Benefits Consultants is an independent organization, not a government agency or affiliated with the federal government or any state government. The terms CSRS, FERS, FEGLI, and FEHB are all registered trademarks of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. American Federal Benefits Consultants, agents, consultants, or any independent contractors do not provide tax, legal, or investment advice and do not engage in the solicitation or sale of securities. Consult with your tax advisor or attorney regarding specific situations.